Hi, hello everybody, and welcome into another ragtag rock'em sock'em edition of Racing Refresh Happy Hour. This one, episode 61, titled Team Orders. I'm Logan Loganity Morris, whatever's left of him, and we have another bang up episode for you, as there is much to talk about. Luckily, I'm not doing it alone. I mean, believe me, I could entertain you for the next hour or so, but I love having a little help. The best help I can possibly have is the show creator himself, the Canadian cackler, the absolute John Mayer big fan, a man so kind, like you could probably pee on his face and tell him it's raining and he goes, it's all right. So let's bring him in, Adam Carabine.
Did you call me? I mean, there's a lot you just called me, but the Canadian cackler, that's yes. A new one. I haven't heard that before. So
the Canadian cackler, yeah,
I like it. Yeah,
a little alliteration here on your Monday evening.
I like it. Yes. Hello, Logan. How are you?
Doing mighty fine, buddy. Doing mighty fine. We are on the cusp of the end of a season.
I mean, I can't believe it's already here.
Time just flies. Mm-hmm. I mean, time just flies. Producer Peggy not with us, at least behind the scenes this evening. She's not feeling too well. She's getting better, but it's been a slog. It's been a slog.
Yes, she. There we go. Thank you guys for filling in for me again while I recover from that pneumonia.
Yeah, that moan that poo pneumonia.
And it was a big weekend for her. Yeah. I mean, on the racetrack.
You know that she's got to. You know that she's got to be the old saying, sicker than a dog, that she's not here this week.
To glow.
Because Ryan Blaney, absolutely, and we'll get to our weekend preview in just a minute. But Ryan Blaney hit a game 7 walk-off homer, and sure he's going to the championship 4. But before we really delve in, how was your week off? Let's ask that first.
Yeah, thanks for filling in for me last week, everyone. And
the characters on here.
I know, right? Yeah, it takes two people just to fill my shoes, I guess.
No, Bobby Hill tuning in. What is good. He's happy. He's got a couple of Penske Fords to be.
He sure does.
This Sunday.
Yes. Anyways, my week off was lovely. Was down in California. I did pop by in the show last week, but I mean, it was like watch the show or go hang out at the beach. I didn't stick around long. So
hey, I don't blame you. Yeah. I mean, I'm more entertaining than the beach. I don't do beaches, really. Given my disability, the sand kind of comes out from under me, and then you got sand in every orifice. That sounds like just a side of hell to me. I'm not big on beaches. I like pools.
Yeah, well, we had a pool as well. You know, we were staying at a place that had pools and hot tubs and beaches and all of the above.
Is she the beach gal, or is she a pool lady?
She's more of a pool gal, and so are the kids. But, you know.
See, that's
the waves. You know, it's fun to go like swim in the waves a little bit. It was warm enough to get in the water. So
Ryan, I don't mean to spill his tea, but I know he just got back from Georgia. I've seen him on the beach a time or two. I don't know how y'all do that sand in every orifice thing. Next thing you know, you're in the shower and you went, how'd that get there? Good Lord.
Well, you know, you just have fun till the daddy takes the T-bird away. That's all. Gotta be a beach boy.
All right, what do you say we get to our weekend review? I like it. I missed you.
It's just for you. Just for you, my friend.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. All right, Ryan Blaney gets it done, but that is completely overshadowed. I mean, somebody planted a whole tree of Ryan Blaney because it's overshadowed, people.
Yeah.
Ryan Blaney gets it done. However, we got to talk about that later. Because controversy was abound. Controversy brewed.
It was a wild finish.
It was a microcosm of the sport as it currently is.
Yeah.
We thought for sure that Christopher Bell, that's right, Christopher Bell, the most consistent Gibbs performer of the season, was going to the championship 4 yet again. And NASCAR said not so fast because they deemed that it was a kind of an illegal safety violation. What was that they called it specifically?
Yeah, I think safety violation is what they called it.
You know, because we're all just making it up as we go along here.
Well, you know how they outlawed the Hail Melon, the wall ride. But apparently in the rule book, it doesn't actually specifically say anything about wall riding. It's just it falls under the safety violation rule. And so if you do something that they deem as a safety violation, you just get dinged with that.
A safety violation.
Or, yeah. Essentially, he was dinged for doing the wall ride, but there's not actually something in the rule book that's about wall ride is, you know, illegal. It's just anything that they deem as a safety violation.
Yeah. All right. Let's get your thoughts. Was this the right call? Was this the call that needed to be made? Because again, this is hotly contested.
It's so hard to know, and I do not envy whoever was in that Situation Room having to make that decision. That is a huge decision that I'm sure NASCAR does not want to be making at the end of their final cutoff race. You know, it's I don't know. I think my opinion at the time was I wanted Christopher Bell to move forward instead of Byron.
Sure.
But partially I think that is just because I feel like Bell has had a better playoffs and has been more consistent and deserves it more, question mark. I mean, you can say that, but you can also point to the fact that he was a lap down and in an elimination race. And so maybe, you know, if you know that's the system you're bracing in, you got to perform at the final moments, right? And he didn't. So partially it's his own fault. He was where he was because of his day and how that went. But I don't know. Let's just say there were some issues on both sides here. You know, you've got the wall ride, you've got Bubba Wallace with a mysterious tire going down slash perhaps something broken. You've got the Ross Chastain and Austin Dillon blockade that had a bunch of speed catching up to Byron, but suddenly couldn't make any headway after that. A lot of suspicious stuff. And NASCAR, I mean, they've said they're going to investigate it further, but I understand that they have to make a call that day right after the race and say, this is who's moving forward. There's a lot of moving parts when it comes to the championship race. Like, just, I believe Wednesday, I think it's Thursday this week, is media day in Phoenix. Mm-hmm. And like all the championship four drivers for all three series are going to be there. There's coordination that goes into this. I think if it was any other week, they would have said, we'll get back to you tomorrow or something like that. But this was crunch time.
Yep, that's what you got to have. Freddie tuning in. Freddie, always appreciate you. Love you, brother. The 1-2 and the 3-2 mature of the ready. Do not pass the 24. Yeah, that's why we're calling this thing team order. I got to tell you. I think NASCAR made the quote unquote right call. I just hated it. Like, yeah, I think technically he probably did break the rule, but also it wasn't nearly as egregious as Ross Chastain. So it's hard to compare it. Like, cause Ross Chastain, I mean, really rode the wall. Like it was like it was an arcade video game.
He started revving up like before turn three.
Where, you know? Where if Chris Rebell is telling the God's honest truth, only he knows, right? Like it's believable. Everything he was saying. I mean, and frankly, this is going to sound weird because like, you don't want to cheat the system. But honest to God, if you're 1 point down and all it takes is to overdrive a corner and you can pass a guy, why wouldn't you? And why is that illegal or wrong? You'll see that. You'll see that throughout the year, even when the regular season. If it just takes to overdrive a corner to get a top five, they're probably going to try to do it because it just matters.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. It's a judgment call. I don't want to be too hard on NASCAR. I think they made the right call.
Yeah, I guess I didn't really end up getting there with my answer. I didn't really say what I thought the right call was. I think they did as well, but I'm with you. I don't love it.
But I think we need a more black and white rule of what is too much and what is too little, because the daylight here is just not good for the sport, and it's not good for Christopher Bell. It's not good for William Byron or whomever it will be, because this will happen again, because it's that's the way this sport works. There's been a lot of talk about the playoffs and that whole system. I mean, I see people up in arms. I see our good friend Taylor Kitchen from above the yellow line, pretty much and maybe I'm mistaken here, Taylor, but it sounds like she's ready to throw the playoff system under the old bus and rev it up, if you will.
Yeah, I've seen more than just her talking about that, and the playoff system is getting a lot of negative attention today. A lot of heat for sure. And honestly, I don't blame people for feeling that way. This is an unfortunate circumstance that happened here. And it was all because of the playoff system. Now, it certainly made for a very exciting finish. Like, I think we had to go to two commercial breaks before we even found out which of the four drivers was, or which of the two between Byron and Bell was moving to the final four.
Yeah. My dog needed on. And it was like, well, I'm not going anywhere until I figure out what's happening here. Yeah. Freddie says within the next couple of years, playoffs will be gone. I hope not. I know that that's going to be surprising coming to me. I'm as old school gets, lover of the way things used to be.
Yeah.
But the playoffs, I think you could make adjustments. I think the best system, and I know this is a little bit before your time, Adam, I believe the best playoff system was the chase. 10 drivers, 10 weeks, let's go. I think 16 is a little too hairy. I think we're getting too... I think we're getting too cute here. Like, I mean, I like the fact that more people have a shot at it. That makes it fun to watch, right? I mean, anybody can get in. But if I had to pick the perfect playoff system, I think the OG chase format, if you've ever looked into it, is what I would prefer. I don't know if it'll be gone because NASCAR loves the Game 7 moments. Because if it's gone, Freddie, and I'm not saying you're wrong. You might be absolutely right. I can't tell you what's going to happen next week, let alone in a couple of years. But I think they'll keep it because NASCAR has grown to love having that shot at the Game 7 moment. Again, I think it will. I think it'll be adjusted. I think you could see less drivers in it. Hell, you could get to the point that you see more drivers in it if they think it will benefit ratings or what have you. Because no one likes to say this, but if you're on TV, you're in the entertainment business. This is the way it is. I know that sports are competitive and they're realistic and there's nothing fixed about it, but I mean, if you're on TV weekly, you are supposed to entertain your audience, and so NASCAR will do whatever they think that takes.
Well, you even hear the drivers say that sometimes. You know, you hear things like, "Oh, I hope it was a good show for you all.
Yeah,
we had fun racing out there, but I hope it was a good show." Like that's often a thing you hear in like Victory Lane. Like, hope you guys enjoyed that. You know,
yeah, because if everybody stops showing up, we can shut her down. I mean, that's the way it is. I know people will go, well, COVID proved that's not the case. That's a very rare circumstance. No, if there was a consistent drop-off, that would be concerning for the sports. So, yeah, they got to put on a quote-unquote good show. That doesn't mean manipulated or rigged or any of those things. But if there's something NASCAR can do and the playoffs was one of those things, because, I mean, as much as I try not to take away from any era of the championship, I know I make my digs about certain people here when I'm trying, because I'm trying to entertain you too, folks. But as great as that old school era is, and as much as no one loves it more than me on this show, there is something to be said about there's still three races left in the year, yada, 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 and we already know who the champion is. That's not a good thing. That's, you know, it is what it is, and congrats to the times at Richard Petty or whomever pulled that off. Wonderful season. Props to you. But for a fan, unless you're a fan of that driver, that's not what you really want to see. So,
I mean, yeah. Was it last year that Max Verstappen ran away with
the
championship in F1? Like, I'm curious what the ratings were comparatively on those last few races where there's nothing to race for.
Other than just that trophy of that evening.
Yeah. And you know, who cares? You know, you pump up this idea that the championship is the biggest thing that everyone's fighting for. And then what happens if it is decided, you know, weeks early?
It makes the season very anticlimactic in my estimation.
Yeah,
you know, it would be, you know, we don't crown the Super Bowl champion until the first or second week in February. If we knew he was going to win it all by the second week of January, what are we doing all this for?
Right.
You know, it just doesn't compute with me. But do you think the playoff system needs adjusted? Would you keep it how it is? I know we're kind of going around. My grandmother would say the mulberry bush, but God rest her soul. But would you keep the playoff system as it is?
The problem is that I don't think I know of, like, I don't have a solution for it. You know, I don't have something where I think, oh, it needs adjusting. And if we did this and that, blah, 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 whatever that is, it would be better. I I do think that it could use a little tweaking here and there, but I'm not sure what those tweaks are that would make it better, you know?
Yeah, it's tough to be in that. It's tough to be in that spot. I mean, people, you know, we all sit around and we go, man, that's not how I'd run it. But it's a hard situation to try and figure out the perfect blend of rewarding a great regular season for those first 26 races, but also keeping everybody engaged for the final 10.
Right.
So it's a tough blend. The sport is a grind. I mean, think about it. Next week is the final race of the season, Adam. And then, you know, you and I, we get a couple of months to kind of, you know, debrief and figure things out and take a little breather from NASCAR, enjoy the holidays, right? Christmas, New Year, and then by George, right around then, you and I, because we're doing this website thing, we go to these races and the rest of the team does as well. By the time about the second week of January hits, we got to start thinking about what are we doing for next year? What are we doing for this upcoming season? Because next thing you know, it's time for the clash and it's time for another year. The grind of NASCAR is intense, folks. So it's my point is, because people will go, well, what's your point? The point is like when you're in that foxhole day in, day out, you're going to make these judgment calls and some people are going to disagree.
Yeah.
Some people are going to disagree.
I just ran some quick numbers there while you were talking because I'm curious. I should have done this before the show, but just looking at what the points would be like if there were no playoff system. If it just was regular season, was the entire season, and we crown a champion at the end, whoever has the most points.
Old school win some cup style, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's Kyle Larson has the advantage. He's got almost like a 30-point advantage over Chase Elliott, which would be tough to like lose at Phoenix, although not impossible. Mm-hmm. But other than Chase Elliott, you got Denny Hamlin and Tyler Reddick Denny Hamlin and William Byron are within striking distance, mathematically speaking, but it would be like Kyle Larson would have to finish like 26th or something.
Tough road to hoe.
So does that make for an exciting final race? Not necessarily. Yeah. But I will say this, like the way the car is designed now, parity is much more, important to the executives of NASCAR, the people who put these things together. And so, yeah, things are certainly much closer than they were back in the days of Richard Petty and the point system is different as well. Like there's less points given out overall. I know the point system has gone through many different changes,
variations.
This is the thing. Like, so, you know, it's been a fairly parity filled season. There's, I guess you can look at Kyle Larson with his 6 wins as being the outlier, but he didn't even make the final 4, right? Like our final 4 all have only 3 wins each. And I mean, how many different drivers did we have that won? 14, I think. So, or maybe more. I don't know. Anyways, all of this to say, like, it is a different time. And so I would be curious, especially because the drivers would probably race differently based on what the points format was.
Sure.
Stage points and stuff would be important instead of like splitting the stage to go for the win or not split, jumping the stage, you know, at break, mm-hmm. going on road courses. They do that often. Anyways, I'm rambling, but what I'm saying is like, I don't know, we could try it and see what happens, but I'm sure there will be people who go, oh, this is boring. There will always be someone, you know.
So I was going to have his critics. Producer Peggy, I think, asking me a question. Well, I stopped calling him an undeserving champion.
Do you call him an undeserving champion?
I don't know if I ever, I call him, the least deserving in history, because comparatively the numbers. But it's not that he doesn't, deserve it. He won fair and square.
Yeah.
But it's just, if you look at his points total, Peter, compared to other champions, I think he would have, in other systems, he would have finished like 7th last year.
Right.
All I'm saying is if he goes back to back, that's rarefied air to be a multi-time champion in this sport.
Yep. And I mean, you got to play to the system that's out there, right?
Hey, If you win by an inch or a mile, win's a win. That's the way it is. And so I get it. So if I'm calling him an undeserving champion, I don't mean that like undeserving in the sense of like he didn't earn it. It's just in comparison to other champions of previous eras or even this one, he had one of the lesser stellar seasons ever. In terms of Ryan says, just had to wonder how different these drivers would race though if the system wasn't in place. I think it'd be a cleaner sport, especially in these final 10 races.
Well, yes and no. I bet, you know, there would be probably some arguments that it wasn't as exciting because, you know, coming in second, you know, if you came in second every single race, you'd win a championship pretty well, right? That'd be great. But there is this win and you're in sort of thing that prioritizes wins. And so you get things like the Austin Dillon thing, you know, mm-hmm. where it ended up getting taken away from him, or at least the playoff eligibility, right. But you get these like late race shenanigans, for lack of a better word,
shenanigans
that like, you know, that increase the drama and the intrigue, whether you like that or not. It's not the point. The point is that it keeps eyes on the sport and keeps people talking about it, whether it's good or bad, you know? So I could see it being like, oh, we made it up to third. We're just going to take a good day and we'll just run around in circles for the last 50 laps of this race and not care because third is great, right?
Ryan says this win in your in there makes people call drivers undeserving champions when all they did was win the championship of the system that's in place.
Yeah, that's true,
but that means the system's not flawed.
That's what I'm saying too, Ryan. I think you know what it's not like they've changed the system halfway through the year. You know what it is when you start and you plan accordingly, right? Does that mean that certain teams maybe spend a lot more time prepping for Phoenix, for Martinsville, and like, you know, just as long as we can get there, then I mean, I'm not saying it's easy to do necessarily, but are we as concerned about like our performance at Sonoma? Maybe not. Maybe we don't care. You know, who cares if we come in last at Sonoma? As long as we get one win in the regular season, then we're in the playoffs and then we focus on those 10 tracks.
Well, here's something to ponder. I want your full thoughts on this. You know, do you think I'm dismissing these people? Do you think I'm too hard on this current system? Because do you get my point about, like, I'm not saying they're undeserving. I'm saying when you compare them to other champions of the sport, like I said, Ryan Blaney last year, I think would finish seventh or eighth. Can you understand why that's an issue?
I guess so. Yeah. I think like, I don't know. I don't agree with you. I don't think that they are an undeserving champion. I think they do what they have to do to win under the system that they're in. I think your issue probably comes more with the system itself, Logan, rather than, oh, they are not a deserving champion. Like, yes, did Ryan Blaney only get the seventh best points last year? Yeah, sure. But I mean, that's not the point of that's not what he's trying to do. Like that he's trying to win the championship. And if at the beginning of the year they said, hey, you know what, this year, no playoffs, we're doing just all points. Does Blaney still finish seventh in points, or does he change his strategy in the races and get in there? You know, well, so
Ryan just made an interesting point. He said Logano didn't care at all these last 2 weeks. The team went out there, what wasn't out there to win at all. Everything was going into place for Phoenix. And see, one thing I want to expand upon, and I want your thoughts, Ryan. I want your thoughts, Freddie, and of course, Adam. My biggest gripe of this era is not the championship points. It's not that. It's the outright manipulation. I'm sorry. I don't know. I guess I'm gonna break out my tinfoil hat here. I got a hard time believing Bubba Wallace had a tire going down.
Well, yeah. Apparently, NASCAR took the car and broke it all down, like tore it apart, and they're going to, I mean, we haven't heard anything yet, but if there appears that there's nothing wrong, there could be some penalties there, according to Bob Pockris.
But
even the one and the three didn't even make it subtle at all. Like, I brought some audio on my phone here. I was going to play it for us. Like, this is some of the audio from the three and the one.
These HMS cars, playoff cars today.
Four will do.
Brandon, that 24 is only two 2 points to the good right now, and there's two spots between them.
The four, 24 to go. The 24 is only two spots to the good right now, points.
If we pass him, he'll be out.
Who's he racing?
He just can't give up spots.
Give me a post of him. This deal, Justin. The changes.
You know the deal?
Just trying to find him to tell him. Justin, you tell Chris Chief also clear off. Step four.
We're talking about one, getting to Chastain's crew chief and telling him.
Nice with the 24 down there, door. Nice and far with the 24 here down there, door. 24 is one to the good, 1 point to the good down there, even. Six is lined up with the three.
Anyways, it goes on, but they're clearly just saying, hey, you know, don't pass them.
See, I have an issue with that, and I wouldn't care if it was Legacy Motor Club. I've had an issue with that because you are paid week in, week out. Look, I know that four drivers are going to Phoenix for a shot at the championship next week. That's the reality of it. But everybody else in that field is paid to do their best to try and win, to be the spoiler, to get that last top five, to get some momentum heading into 2025. Like, that's your job. That's what you paid big ass bucks for.
Yeah.
And so my biggest issue with this current system is not the playoff system. It's not the 16 drivers. It's not even the inconsistency of NASCAR's calls. It's that this manipulation garbage is just so frustrating because, damn it, people pay hard-earned money to come see. Maybe next week is the only time a Martin Truex fan can come see their boy one more time. Maybe they've been saving money all year long, and they're like, I'm going to his last full-time race. And so, like, you owe it to that individual to give it everything you got. If you can finish fourth instead of fifth, you do everything you can do to finish fourth.
Yeah.
That's the way that should work. And so there needs to be, and it's beyond my pay grade to figure out how this happens. There needs to be something more in place. I know there's rules in the rule book, but it starts to become, you know how in sports there's all these rules. I'm talking about like traditional stick and ball, hockey. There's all these rules, but there's some rules that the sport just chooses to ignore.
Yep.
That, like, every sport has them. Every sport has them. Baseball is well, the veteran's going to get more calls than the youngster. That's just the way it works.
Yep.
When a ball should be a ball, a strike should be a strike. NASCAR has rules in place to not manipulate the finishes, and they don't care. And that's what's most frustrating to me, because there's going to be several million people, I assume, watching the race next week that aren't rooting for a driver in the Championship Four. Yes, I know the Championship Four is the story. That's what really matters. But damn it, people put their time, effort, hard-earned money in this sport for all 39, 40 drivers. So it just frustrates me. You get my point?
No, absolutely. And I mean, I think your point still stands even for last week. Like, it doesn't have to be at Phoenix.
Right.
Like, if there happens to be any Austin Dillon fans out there, maybe they were saving up and went to Martinsville, right? And
there's right. Well, I mean,
if there's any of them left, I don't know. Yeah. But
I think
Chastain had enough speed to pass Byron. He looked like he had a faster car.
He did to me.
Yeah.
Did to me.
And so, yeah, that sucks. That sucks as a Chastain fan, if you are one, saying, man, my driver gave up a top five to help someone who's not even a teammate necessarily. They're just manufacturers.
Yeah, that's another thing. It's like, it's different when it's, you know, we've seen Joey Logano do some things for his Penske teammates over the years. I kind of get that. You're all at the same shop on, you know, like, why wouldn't you? But now we're just manufacturing, look, people, if you look inside these cars, there's not that big of a difference between the Chevy, Ford, and Toyota, not in 2024. There are some light ones, don't get me wrong, but it is not the disparity it once was. And so,
well, and so, I mean, I know you said there should be, you know, something in place here, some sort of rule. They haven't announced any penalties yet, but I imagine they're looking at it. Well, I mean, they've said they're looking at it. So we will see probably by late tomorrow, they will announce whether there are any penalties.
Certainly it's got to be by Tuesday, because people got to get to, you know, we got to get to figuring that out.
But I don't think it's going to change the final four or at Wednesday, all.
Wednesday, pardon me. Wednesday. Tomorrow is Tuesday. Whew, Lord.
There you go. Yes. But still, it's just there won't be any changes to who the final four are, but yeah. There may be some financial penalties. There may be some points penalties for the other drivers who are out of the playoffs. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what they do and whether they throw the book at them or whether it's kind of swept under the rug and that's that.
We shall see. Yeah. Eric Almirola won Martinsville. He swept Martinsville this year.
Yeah.
Kind of an interesting thought here. That could be the last ever win of Eric Almirola's career. We don't know his status for next season and what he's going to do. That could be it's not like that Eric Almirola is an all-time legend, but he's certainly been a veteran of the sport. Ryan says he's excited to have Logan buy some chicken wings after the Ghana wins the championship this weekend. Look, if it gets me some food, I'll be damned.
You can send some of those chicken wings up to Canada for me too. That sounds good.
Now it's a special bond Ryan and I have. We love and hate each other.
I'm familiar with that.
So your final four is Austin Hill, AJ Allmendinger, and Justin Allgaier, and Stone Cold Custer.
Yeah. The human thumb, Cole Custer himself.
We don't do a lot of predictions for the Xfinity and Truck Series. Frankly, it might be something we want to reevaluate next year. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see.
Do you have an Xfinity pick? Do you have a champion figured out?
I don't. I think it's a close battle. I think the four of them, I think out of the three series, the Xfinity one presents I think all four have an equal chance in some different ways. Maybe I shouldn't say equal chance, but it's much closer than some of the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see Allmendinger win just because I think he's great.
It's a good story.
Allgaier is kind of like the veteran, and he certainly would be a great story for him to win too. Austin Hill has some haters for sure, and sometimes I don't know if I blame them. But also, does that create some intrigue for him if he wins the championship?
Yeah.
And then Cole Custer would be back-to-back Xfinity champions, and he's moving up to Cup next year. He's been solid all year, and so I could see it.
He's pulling for the you said the human thumb,
the one and only human thumb,
Cole Custer.
Did you ever see those thumbs in Spy Kids?
Yes,
I can't remember what they're called, but
yes, it did. I remember Spy Kids back in the day. Yeah, I watched all three of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my stuff. Ryan says he's going Ty Majewski, Cole Custer, and one Joey Logano.
There you go. Yeah.
So, all right. We'll see what happens. I'm going to go AJ Allmendinger in the Xfinity Series. I think he's going to pull it off.
I would love to see that.
I like good stories. I like good comeback stories.
Yeah.
So, and I think that'd be a nice little story. AJ Allmendinger getting a championship at this stage of his career, pretty incredible. So, I'm going to take him. All right. In trucks, Christian Eckes won his way to the Final Four. So your Final Four is Grant Enfinger, Christian Eckes, Corey Heim, and Ty Majewski. Give me a pick.
I assume you're not looking at the screen.
Oh, right. Yeah. Looky there. I just looked at it. Oh, yeah. Looky there.
There's Cole Custer and his brothers.
Those action figures are going to be hot.
Who's my pick for the truck series? Is that what you were asking?
Yes.
I think it's Corey Heim. I don't know. I don't know. I say that, but then also Christian Eckes, he just did the old the Ryan Blaney walk off, win at Martinsville. He was out on points pretty much, and so had to win and did it. So I don't know. It's clutch time. Who's good in clutch time? Enfinger is always just there, and
he's easy to root for. He's
a hillbilly Kermit, is what I've heard him.
He's a good dude. He's a good dude.
He's great. I got the chance to be at his first ever Cup start, which was not that long ago. And I just remember talking with him, and I was like,
he's a good dude.
He's a great dude. Yeah.
He would give you the shirt off his back. I believe that. No, in the truck series, I'm going to take Corey Heim. He's had the momentum all year long.
Yep.
And frankly, you know, there's some scuttlebud that, you know, Legacy may not be committed to John Hunter in the 42 for next year. And so that would be an interesting, that could seal it over the edge. You never know.
I did hear that. Yes.
There's some scuttlebutt, some rumor and innuendo.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and because God knows they need to revolve that door some more.
That's what's been missing is just, yeah, they need to,
yeah,
they need to change,
yes,
change the people, yeah, over a little, yeah, bit.
One more, a little more change. I mean, frankly, yeah, they've just been too consistent in the same folks.
Yeah.
So anyways, I'm going to take Corey Heim in the truck series. What about you?
Yeah, I think Heim. I'd like to see Ekis. I like Ekis, but I think it's Heim. It's Heim time.
All right, we'll make our we'll make some cup predictions here towards the end of the show, which isn't, yeah, too far from now. But before we get there, we got to do some happy hour headlines.
We do indeed. It's a beautiful thing.
I love you dearly, but I'm tired of looking at Ryan Hess comment. Thanks, buddy.
This is why we need producer Peggy. Yeah, I can't multitask. And I was getting the picture of the thumbs up.
Yeah, I'm like, he must think his picks are going to be gold.
There we go. We got all Matt Maher's picks in here, too.
Matt Maher. And Tyler Reddick are his picks. Matthew Maher. I'll tell you.
Not bad.
I like your in-finger pick. I hope that works out. Just know it's going to be a cool story. Tyler Reddick.
Yeah, I'd love to see him.
If they have to hand the championship to a driver, a 2311, shoot, boy.
That would be good.
That's mighty awkward. That's one of those. This is a whole lot of awkward, boys.
Yeah.
Steve Phelps, Tyler Reddick, Michael Jordan, Diddy Hamlin.
Well, they're just in court today.
Yeah, how you doing? I'll see you Sunday.
I didn't put that in our script to talk about because it didn't seem like there was really many developments in court today. They just
litigation. It's going to take a long time. I mean, it's just the way it works. We are our justice system, no matter whose side you're on this thing, moves half the speed of smell.
Yeah.
So just get comfortable, folks. Get comfortable.
Yeah. We already kind of talked about the investigation into the teams at Martinsville. That was one of the headlines we had, but we did have a fight on pit road in the Xfinity series.
Yeah, little Chandler Smith versus Cole Custer with that 1-2 piece.
I got a little photo of it here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's a solid hit.
Yeah. Short tracks and short tempers, baby. That's the way it is. This is why you love good old fashioned short track racing. Now, I'm still trying to get you to appreciate, you know, the old school kind of Southern aspect of this sport because you're a Canadian. So we're warming you up to it.
I'm working on it.
Yeah. We're warming you up to it. And this is what we're talking about. You want to, at a short track, you want, growing up, I'd watch Bristol. And I know we were at Martinsville. This has a point. I'd watch Bristol, and it was guaranteed that someone was going to throw a helmet, and it was wonderful. I loved it because every time you saw someone do it, you went, oh, my God, he just threw a helmet. And those things are huge. And so this is old school.
Producer Peggy, that was the weakest slap I just about ever seen. My mama hit me harder. Well. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, Peyton.
I was going to say, apparently, that's this is awkward.
We got Cole Stone
Custer. Oh,
the thumb, human thumb.
We don't condone child abuse.
No, we don't.
I never thought I'd have to say that on this show, but here we are. Here we are, episode 61. It took me 61 episodes to have to disavow child abuse. It didn't. Too good, Lord.
Anyways.
Yes.
Where were we?
Places.
Yeah.
Look,
other headlines.
This is good. This is good for the sport. People, don't get me wrong. I don't want to see anyone get hurt.
No.
But you love the intensity and the passion because you want to believe they care as much as they should.
A little scuttlebutt here and there. Never hurt anyone.
A little Donnybrook, a little kerfluffle.
Oh, Donnybrook. That's good.
Like a little kerfluffle.
Yeah.
A little scrap. I'd have a scrap.
It's good.
Oh, yeah. All right.
As a hockey fan, I'm all for it. So
you're a... Lane Riggs is having shoulder surgery this offseason. That seems to be a growing theme. And Denny Hamlin had some shoulder issues. Mm-hmm. I believe Chase Elliott has had a shoulder injury and had to get that taken care of a couple years ago.
Do they need to start turning right? Like, should they run a race where, like, they run the opposite way?
It's got to be wearing out all the cartilage up here, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You're constantly, like, turning one way. Like, I wonder if it's that shoulder that is always...
And you're not... It's not like it's a Sunday drive, either.
You're
putting her in there.
You're fighting it, right? So, I don't know. That would be kind of funny. What if you just, like... You know what? This year, Spring Atlanta, we're going right.
We're going the opposite way. Flip it around.
Good luck, everyone.
Flip it around 2025. You talk about a wild one. No, hopefully Lane Riggs has a great recovery. He has really kind of coming into his own.
Yes.
This year, and really made some steps. Producer Peggy says she has a shoulder injury. She does. Am I a race car driver? Well, sometimes you drive like one. especially she can get aggressive on the turns.
I believe it. Oh, I've heard the legend of Producer Peggy's driving, but I have never seen it in person.
Sometimes like if I'm not buckled in, I'd be flying around like a lotto ball. So there you go. What it is. Yeah, they do a lot of road courses. And we'll see if they add more or whatever have you. They do go right a few times now.
That's true. But I don't know. I would love to see it just to like, it would throw everything off so much. Everyone would be so confused. It would just be funny.
And look, because I'm a hefty man with a hefty plan, got to throw this in here.
Yeah.
Raisin Cane's
just for you.
Raisin Cane's is the official chicken finger of Phoenix Raceway. Let me tell you something, folks. I love Raisin Cane's. I love rolling in there. Rolling in there, getting a Caniac combo.
I've never had it.
Oh, good.
We don't have it up here. What is Raising Cane's?
Raising Cane's is a chicken finger joint. I mean, it's deep fried chicken fingers. They have their cane sauce. You get a mess of fries. You get a piece of garlic toast with it and some coleslaw if you want it. Half the time, I have them hold back that coleslaw. I get another piece of the garlic toast, have them butter both sides of that piece. Oh, my goodness. I'm salivating at the thought. Raising Cane's chicken fingers. Peter is wrong.
She says it's over ratted, too many rats in the chicken.
Look, I know
you meant overrated. I'm just kidding.
Look, I'll tell you what, we got to do something about this Food and Health Administration. And so, look, Bojangles is fire too. Get you a nice little bow round right there with I'm hefty.
It's good.
And so.
Anyways,
but no, Raising Cane's is a wonderful place. I tell you what, I figure one day I got to come up to meet you and you got to come down to meet me. I figure we got to have that dance.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we got to do one up there with you, got to do one down here with me. And when you come on down here with me,
we may fool you with our chemistry on screen, but we've never actually met in person, folks.
We're waiting on that day. I think it's coming next year.
Next year it's going to happen.
I really believe next year it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I really do.
I'm coming up with some plans already. I got some tricks up my sleeve.
I'm gonna need it. But yes, Raising Cane's, the official chicken finger of Phoenix Raceway, and frankly, I could move. They frankly should sell them all year round. All right.
still going, but we're gonna move on.
I love chicken fingers. Cane's has no flavor. The flavor's only in the sauce. That's the point. You dip it in the sauce, and I mean, you dunk that sucker.
Whoa. Excuse me, Peyton, you have not come to Vancouver. She has, her experience in Canada is Niagara Falls, which is not even real Canada.
Yeah, so. That's like our version of Canada, I think.
Yeah.
It's like Diet Canada.
It's all the bad parts.
I'm not going to say that comment because I've messed that word up a few times this year.
Have you ever had a poutine? Well, I certainly have.
I have not had a...
Listen, when I come down to see you, we'll go to Raising Cane's.
Yeah.
When you come up to me, I'll take you out for poutine. It's going to be great.
I love you. I love you enough to leave this great country. I mean, do you think about how much that is?
That's tough for you, and I appreciate that.
That's
it means a lot.
Yep.
Well, I mean, I'll believe it when I see it. You're saying that, but I haven't heard anything about you coming up here anytime soon. So
look, we'll make it happen. We'll make it happen. Yep. All right. We will make it happen.
Let's move on from our happy hour headlines here.
Absolutely. Let's get to the weekend preview.
Oh yes.
There's poutine at McDonald's.
There is, and it's not quite right.
All right. There's nothing down here. We're all fired up about you guys got the chicken Big Mac up there?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Have you had one yet?
I haven't had it yet.
All right, don't look at me like don't dismiss me like you wouldn't indulge.
Have you had it?
I have not had the chicken Big Mac. I haven't had any fast food in a minute. I'm jonesing for some grease.
Yeah.
It's been a little bit.
Well, so. I wish I could say the same.
My man. All right. Cup Series and Xfinity Championship. All of them. Everybody's coming to Phoenix. By the time I get to Phoenix, she'll be rising, as Glenn Campbell once said.
There you go.
You ever heard that classic?
That's a classic.
It's a hit. It sure is. That's what we should have called the episode.
There you go.
Next year. Got you. Next year. Got you. Look.
The Wichita lineman.
Still on the line, boys. And whoever wins this weekend is going to celebrate like they're a rhinestone cowboy.
Okay. Very good. Yep.
All right, Glenn.
Thank you. It's too late now, but your dog was like making noise earlier. And I was going to say there was some pet sounds coming from over there because we're talking about Beach Boys earlier, but it's coming. It's too late now.
That's why I was off screen. I had to let her out. She was like, I got to go downstairs.
Yeah. But that's all we got this weekend. There's nothing else going on. Everyone's all eyes on the NASCAR series.
Everybody thinking about NASCAR.
I'm excited. You know,
that's what should be thinking about.
I'm excited. It's bittersweet for me. This year I'm not going to Phoenix. I have in the past. Our very own Crystal Clay will be there. But I needed a vacation, so I went to California instead. Which
a little California.
Yeah. So you know what? We'll be back at the track next year for sure. All
right, absolutely. And hopefully you and I meet at a track next year.
A lot of fun. Yeah.
Before we get to our Racing Refresh picks, let me ask you, what's your emotions? This is Martin Truex's final full-time race. He'll be in the 500, assuming he makes the field. Obviously, it'll be an open car.
Well, okay. I don't want to let the cat out of the bag too much, but there's a good chance I may be going to the Daytona 500.
Oh!
So as much as I'm like, oh, this is sad that it's his last, I mean, he's going to be at the 500. So
you get to have your moment with him. All right, that's good.
And I might go as a fan. I might go as a fan instead of as a reporter. And I've never actually been to the track as a fan before.
You should.
Because I got into NASCAR during COVID. And by the time I was able to like actually even cross the border down into the States again, I was a full-fledged reporter or something like that. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. Thank you, founder. Thank you.
There's some partying to be had down in Daytona is what I hear. And I might make a journey out of it. So
we'll see what happens. Keep me updated on that.
I will. It's not official yet, but yes, let's get to our picks.
All right. What do you say? We make a little Racing Refresh picks.
It is a tight race here, Logan.
Seems to be the theme of the week from what I understand.
Yeah, that's what I hear. It is a very tight race, and I don't like that. You are we only have one more chance to earn the victory of this year.
Narrowly ahead, I believe I am.
Producer Peggy says, do our picks start over for this last race to pick any driver of the four? That's I hadn't thought of that.
Do you have to pick one of the four?
I don't think you have to.
Okay.
But sure. I think I know why Producer Peyton would like to pick Ryan Blaney again, is what I'm getting.
I'm sure.
And you know what? I think I'll just allow it. You know what? We'll allow it.
Making it up as we go along. I like that.
She does get to pick first because she lost last week by picking Truex, unfortunately. Even from the poll, you know, I thought it was his day.
So did I. I didn't know if he's going to win, but I thought top five for sure. Yeah. And it just didn't.
They named the track after him, obviously. Come on. Get it? Martinsville? Yeah. Anyone? Thanks.
I'm sure the Mark Martin fan said the same thing years ago.
Yeah. Good. You picked Larson. He got P3. Very nice. So you won the week. I don't have the graphic prepared because Producer Peggy's not here and she's our all-star. But Logan, you got 74 points. I got 73. I'm right behind you.
Narrowly ahead.
Peyton, unfortunately, bringing up the rear this year. She's not going to be able to catch us mathematically, but she's got 67 points. I'm hoping she gets 2 points next week. And then,
amen to that.
It'll be a nice finish for her.
Amen to that.
Good. And but really, I hope that I win.
Yeah.
I have
narrow.
It's not tight. That anyone else cares, but I have a separate little NASCAR pool that I run just with some friends up here.
Mm-hmm.
I've been leading this thing all season. I've been doing so well. We repick new players for the entirety of the playoffs, and I just picked poorly, and it has slipped out of my grasp. I'm mathematically eliminated after yesterday, and it's very upsetting. I really like. I've never won it. This is, I think, the fifth year in a row we've had it, and it is. I've never won it. I'm the commissioner of the league, if you will. I shouldn't have rigged it in my favor, but I haven't.
You try and you change the picks this year on Race and Refresh to try and avoid me from repeating. And here I am, very close.
This is just the next gen. This is just the next gen. We're trying to keep the parity. That's all. I wasn't trying to do anything to you.
Look, that's well.
It has worked because we are down to the final race, and it's still within two of our.
Mm-hmm. So. It could go either way, a coin flip, if you will.
Yeah. Should we reset all our points and just... I'm just kidding.
Good old-fashioned toss-up, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
So, anyways, is it my turn to pick?
We'll go with producer Peyton first, if she's around. I'm assuming she's picking Blaney, but is that accurate, producer Peggy?
We'll give her a minute here. We'll give her just a second as we close in.
There she is.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay. Next is me. I don't know, you know.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say Tyler Reddick. I'm gonna do it. I've already picked him too, but if we're allowing it, I'm taking Reddick.
All right.
I think he's gonna win. And I think it's gonna be hilarious because Steve Phelps is gonna have to hand that trophy over to him.
All right. Well, this one for you, Ryan.
Oh,
I'll take Joey Logano.
Wow. I know we've talked about it before, but like that'll give him three championships. That's rarefied air. That's,
I don't know, if he finishes second to the first place driver, I'd still be sitting pretty good.
Yeah, I know. I just mean if he finishes second to Reddick, you won't be. So
it'll be.
We probably need a tiebreaker because we could end up tying. Should we say like how many laps do you think the winner of the race will lead?
How many laps is the race?
I don't know. 312 probably.
Yeah, that's usually what it is. I'm gonna say the winner leads.
Hold on. Before you say it, I'm gonna get one in mind as well, so that I'm not gonna bait.
Do you want to, are we prices right this thing over under? Or
no, because that gives an advantage to whoever picks second, you know. Right. Sorry, okay. Producer Peggy, you're out of the running on this, so you don't get to pick.
I'm going to say the winner leads at least 110 laps.
Wow. Okay. I was going with 15. I feel like it's going to be a late run.
All right.
Well, you know what, Producer Peggy? Maybe you should have picked better throughout the season. There you go.
Wow.
Yeah. There she is.
Coming at you like pneumonia over here.
Wow.
With that, it's been one of the wildest shows we've had.
There you go. You just got Truex'd. I'm just looking back at old things that we have saved here.
She says, I love this thing like all year.
Well, fool around and find out, I think that's what that stands for.
Fool around. Well, fool
around and fell in love. Isn't that a song?
Yeah, that's an Elvin Bishop tune right there.
Now you know how I feel, Producer Peggy. You led this thing all year. That's how I feel about my other.
Well, it's all about bringing it. You know, we're on the 1 yard line here, and we got to put it at the finish line. And speaking of the finish line, it's time for a little closing time.
Here we go.
All right, Adam Carbine, give me some final words as we're in our what I believe is our second to last episode of the season.
Yes, I believe they call that the penultimate.
Penultimate.
Love that word. It is next week is our last show for the season. Unless something really crazy happens, we may do an emergency hop on here and, you know, talk about it. But we're going to finish up next week, and it's been a heck of a year. You know, honestly, it has been a very unpredictable year, I feel like, as far as not so much for us, although probably us too. I just mean on the track, it has been, you know, it's not exactly the way I thought the year would go, and it's been nice that it's been kind of spread around and been neat to see some drivers kind of coming out of their shell a little bit. So looking forward to Phoenix, looking forward to getting next season started up already. I know it's too soon to think about that, but I've got lots of spreadsheet work to do after this season to get the command center all ready for next year. And we're going to have one final round of power rankings. Mm-hmm. That'll be up on the website this week. The final edition of Stats Saturday on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Getting ready for the championship race. And who knows, there might be a little extra something after the race. Maybe we'll do a little, you know, year-end tribute or something.
Retrospective, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. How about you, Logan? What say you to wrap things up here?
Well, you know, just been another great episode. Been a great year overall. We're not done yet, but we're getting close. We're on the home stretch. No, I got a couple things working in the frying pan, if you will. I haven't written my last article this year for the website, so stay tuned to that. Producer Peggy says thanks for covering, and we're glad we are glad. Yeah, you know, she did say that. She did say that he'd get right to that. She did. And so she calls that.
I know.
Comes back here next week. Oh, she's man.
One in four shot. One in four shot.
We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. All right. With that, look, we appreciate everybody tuning in. Matt, Ryan, Freddie, of course. Freddie's so loyal, man. I'll tell you. Adam, I just enjoy doing the show with you every week, and I look forward to doing one more with you next week. And, by the time I get to Phoenix, we'll be rising.
Well, you know what they say, God only knows where I'd be without you. So happy to have you around, and thanks for doing the show with me each week, mostly. And, we made it through. We actually made it through this show without times on the script, so that's great.
We'll see. Somehow?
Yeah. It's possible, yeah.
With that, thank you, everybody that tuned in this week and every other week. We'll see you for one more next week. And if you think you've seen it all yet, you ain't seen a damn thing. We guarantee you that. So until then, we will see you at the next track. Mm-hmm. Be safe. Be well. It's all going to be all right. Let's have fun at Phoenix.
Take care, guys.